Good morning and welcome. I would like to draw your attention to the attendance pack books, and if please fill them out so Kathy can have something to do after church and pick them up. And also, if you're visiting, we welcome you, whether you're from town or out of town. But today you have a real treat. Of course, you have a real treat every Sunday. But today we are welcoming Rebecca Blackwell, who was our former stated clerk and mission coordinator. I have trouble with all those titles. But you can read her in the announcements. You can read all she has done, but they don't tell you the fine print. And I can tell you some of that, but I won't make it public. I promised her. But she didn't, they don't put in this particular bio that another accomplishment. She is a great knitter. And so we have a lot in common when we get there. I wish you would, if there is any other announcements in the bulletin, is there anyone that wants to say anything today? Any announcement? Okay. All right. Thank you. We will continue with the peace of Christ with you. Will you please join and welcome people in the church? Thank you.
Please stand for the call to worship. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us worship God.
And let us pray. O God, you set your blessing on us. As we worship together this day, confirm us in the truth by which we live. Confront us with the truth from which we wrongly turn. We ask not for what we want, but for what you know we need, as we offer this day and ourselves for you and to you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. Almighty God, our world is filled with corruption. Power disguises itself as truth. Convenience masquerades as goodness. Selfish pleasure imitates love. We confess to you, O God, that we have been caught in the web of the world's sin. By the power of the Holy Spirit, save us from these deceptions and free us for glad obedience, that we may see the joy of Jesus' resurrection and receive the promise of everlasting life. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to
God. Invite the children to come join me. I think we're right over here, right? Okay. It's nice to see you guys today. So I want to ask you, do any of you have pets at your house?
I do.
You do?
I get my dog.
A dog?
And her name is Dally.
And what do you have at your house? Do you have other pets? Who has a dog? Anybody have a cat? You do? What do you have?
A fish and a dog.
A fish and a dog. And what do you do to take care of those animals?
Feed them.
And give them water. Good. Do you ever have to take them for a walk?
Yeah. My dog and my daddy take them.
Yeah. The fish, not so much, huh? Yeah. And do you have to give them baths, your dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they get all dirty, you have to give them a bath. Well,
I also have ticks.
Ticks, that's right. You have to take care of all the medical things, don't you? You have to give them flea medication and make sure that they don't get sick, right?
Yes.
Well, have you ever heard people say that Jesus is the good shepherd?
Yeah.
Do you know what a shepherd is? Oh, good. Some people think it's a dog, like a German shepherd. A shepherd in Jesus' time and even today is a person who takes care of sheep. And taking care of sheep is just like taking care of your pets. You have to make sure they get enough food and water. You have to make sure they get exercise. You have to make sure that they're safe from ticks and from all kinds of things that would hurt them. And you have to make sure that nobody steals them, right? You eat meat? Yeah, I do too. Yeah, and a lot of times sheep are used for meat and for their wool. So Jesus says he takes care of his sheep. And if he takes care of us just the same way you take care of your pets, that's pretty nice, huh? To know that there's somebody looking out for you to make sure that everything's okay. And sometimes Jesus has shepherd helpers who are parents and friends in the church who help make sure that we're all okay, right? That's a very good thing. So let's say a prayer together to thank Jesus for being our good shepherd. Dear Jesus, Thank you for caring for us. Even more than we care for our pets. Thank you for being our shepherd. And thank you for all those who help you take care of us. Amen. God be with you there.
God be with you.
As we prepare to hear God's word in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silenced the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 23. Listen for God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
It is good to be with you. Our second scripture lesson today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Listen for the word of God for you. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight this day, and may we hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So someone asked me what I was going to preach about this Sunday, and I said, "Sheep." To which they replied, "Oh, sheep are so stupid." And you know, I had a parishioner in an earlier congregation who grew up on a farm, and he just hated the fact that God's people are referred to as sheep, because he kept saying, "Sheep are stupid. They are just the dumbest animals." Well, not having an animal husbandry background, I decided to do some research. So I Googled, "How stupid are sheep?" And what I discovered is that sheep, studies have shown that sheep are just a little less intelligent than pigs, who are just a little less intelligent than human beings. So sheep aren't all that stupid. So why do people think they're so dumb? The more I looked, I think it's probably because they have terrible eyesight. They have really wide vision, 320 degrees of vision. They can literally see what's behind them. The problem is they have like zero depth perception. So they can see something, but they have no idea what it is or how close it is. That makes them very easily frightened. It's said that even sometimes shadows on the ground will scare them because they can't figure out what it is, and so they'll balk. So they're very vulnerable and skittish and easily frightened. And consequently, what they try to do is they herd together and huddle together for safety, to help one another protect each other. So they're not stupid, but they do have terrible eyesight. It turns out, however, that sheep have excellent hearing. Lambs recognize their mothers not by sight, obviously, but by their bleats. And the moms recognize their lambs the same way. Their hearing is so good that they literally know their master's voice. They will bond with one another and with humans, especially humans that feed them, largely based on familiar sounds and scents. In addition to that, they have a really great memory. They've done some studies, and sheep remember a friend for up to 5 years. They would recognize a shepherd that tended them 5 years after the shepherd had left the flock. Hearing, scent. So these are not stupid animals. So Jesus is speaking the truth here when he says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. This was not a big revelation to his colleagues. They know that that's how sheep work. I think they also understood how sheep and sheepfolds work, and because I didn't, again, I did a little research. I had a vision in my mind of little Bo Peep's sheep in little, you know, in a little pen in her backyard, and that's where the shepherd would go. But as it turns out, in Palestine, they had kind of a cooperative arrangement. Different shepherds had different sheep, and the sheep all knew who their shepherd was, right? So they had a cooperative arrangements where multiple flocks would commingle with one another in a stone enclosure for safety during inclement weather or, you know, when it was nighttime or something like that. So it'd be a tall stone fence. All the sheep would be commingled in there, and there would be a gatekeeper to sit at the gate. The gatekeeper was hired to guard the sheep when they are enclosed. And the gatekeeper would grant admittance to the shepherds of various flocks so that they could find their sheep and take them out to pasture. So quite literally, anybody that did not come in via the gate and the gatekeeper was coming over the wall with something nefarious in mind. And because the sheep hear so well and remember their master so well, if somebody came over the wall or came through the gate that wasn't their master, they would run. But they will definitely follow their shepherd. So again, what Jesus is saying here gives us a better picture. And you know, his original audience would have understood that. But so there are multiple flocks all in this one little pen. And the shepherd of each flock comes and calls, and they come, right? So you and I have a lot of voices competing for our attention, don't we? We have the voice of society, the voice of advertisers, the voice of our neighbors competing for the best lawn, the voice of friends, the voice of our bosses. There are other voices that we don't hear out loud, but we hear in our heads, right? I hear my mother's voice a lot. We also hear our Sunday school teachers and pastors and preachers that we've heard over the years. And I most particularly tend to remember the voices of people who criticized me. Somewhere in the midst of all these voices, audible and inaudible, is the voice of Christ, our shepherd. Now, we know that not all of these voices have our best interest at heart. Commercial voices want us to buy their products so that we will enrich their bottom line, whether we really needed that product or not. So trying to sort it all out can be confusing and a little intimidating. When we're considering life choices and making daily decisions, or even making collective decisions as a family or a congregation, how are we to sort through all the voices in such a way that we're confident that we are hearing the voice of true wisdom, the voice of God? I want you to hear this and believe it. Jesus says that his sheep know his voice. You know his voice. You are made in the image of God, and so the God voice recognition software was pre-installed. We know his voice. But quite often, we've lost our native ability to listen to that voice and to identify it as the voice of God. Part of the problem is that God is not a shouter. God's voice tends to be the still, soft voice. And so we need to cultivate our ability to listen. We need to learn to pay attention and listen for that voice of wisdom beneath the cacophony of all the other voices around us. In my estimation, I think the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern churches have probably done a better job of nurturing their people's ability to listen to the voice of God. We Protestants, we do a great job of immersing our people in the reading and study of Scripture. We teach people how to pray. Remember the Acts thing? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We teach people to read and study Scripture and to pray, and that's good. But it's better suited to knowing about God than it is to actually knowing God. It's better suited to helping us talk to God than it is to helping us listen for the living word. So what are we to do? Where do we turn? In his book, Hearing God, philosopher and expert in spiritual formation Dallas Willard says this: "The Bible is not Jesus Christ, who is the living word. The Bible was not born of a virgin, crucified, resurrected, and elevated to the right hand of the Father. Neither is the Bible the word of God that is settled eternally in the heavens, as the psalmist says, expressing itself in the order of nature. The Bible is not the word of God that in the book of Acts expanded and grew and multiplied. It's not the word that Jesus spoke of as being sown by the active speaking of the ministry. But all of these are God's words, as is also his speaking that we hear when we individually hear God. Now, initially to good Presbyterians, that sounds a little heretical, right? The Bible is not Jesus Christ who is the living word. The Bible is part of God's word, but the word of God, the living word of God, is greater than the written word. And the living word interprets the written word. So we strive to listen for the living word. But how? How do we listen when God is so quiet? How do we learn to hear when God is often so nonverbal? What are some ways we can learn to pay attention? Where do we turn? Certainly we turn to Scripture. But we also can turn to silence. Be still and know that I am. Like Joseph in the Old Testament and Joseph, the father of Jesus, we might pay attention to our dreams because God speaks through those. Some people journal, and as they're writing, they discover that God is saying something to them in the words that they have written. They hear an inner wisdom that came from within, from God, that they didn't know was there until they took the time to write. Some people hear God by walking in nature, being among the trees or along the shore or in the desert. Sometimes just even pulling weeds out of your garden reminds you how God works in your life. There's also intuition. One of my pastors as a young person said, "You know, I think the Holy Spirit is very often what we call women's intuition. That little hunch that you have, that's often the Holy Spirit talking to you." Our conscience is also a way that God speaks to us. Other times God speaks to us through people or magazines or, you know, I have this kind of rule of three. If something comes across my bow three times over a few days from three different sources, I've learned to pay attention to that. And very often it's a book, you know, people say, "Oh, I read this great book," or I'll, you know, hear somebody else talk about it, and it's like, okay, I'll get the book. When I get the book and read it, it is such a blessing. So I've kind of learned to pay attention. If something repeats itself three times, maybe God's nudging me to do that. To take it out, to take check a look at it. So all of these ways, in addition to Bible study and prayer, are ways that we can listen for God. And I think it's important to keep at it. Just listening to one dream or being silent for 5 minutes is not going to do it. You have to keep at it. A study in 2013, found that, you know how they used to say that a mother knows her child's voice? You know, a mother can hear, in the whole nursery, the mother will hear her kid's voice and go, "Oh, that's mine, better go," right? They initially thought that wasn't true of fathers, but as fathers take on more parenting responsibilities, they are discovering that the same thing is true for fathers. And it's not just the birth parents, but they found that the only variable between men and women or one or another that was predictive of a parent's ability to differentiate their child's cries from one another is the amount of time that they spend with that child. So the more time we spend practicing listening to God, the more ability we will have to recognize God's voice. So you've done all these things, you think you've heard something. How do you know you've heard correctly? How do you know that it's God and not your mother? Okay. First of all, it's a heart and soul knowing, not necessarily a head knowing. It's not something that's always very logical, the way God works. But I think Psalm 23 kind of speaks to that sense of peace, you know, still waters. There will be a sense of like, yes. There will be that heart and soul knowing that just gives you a peace, even if your head goes, this doesn't sound like the right thing, but it feels in my heart and my soul right. For me, sometimes it feels like all of these various little water molecules that have been dancing in my head and around me kind of coalesce and hits the dew point. You know, there's just kind of like this condensation that happens. That's like, okay, that makes sense. And if whatever you're hearing seems like a really wild idea or too good to be true, I think it's important to look for precedent in scripture or in church history, okay? But it's important to remember the rule that the living word interprets the written word. Because remember, in church history, we've decided that slavery was biblical, that the Crusades were biblical, and so on. And those were all interpreted to be approved by scripture. But it's very true that we are prone to reading our own prejudices into the word. So again, it's important for the living word to interpret the written word, okay? Another thing you can do if you're really uncertain is to share with other people. I think I'm hearing that I should be doing this. Does that sound right to you? Does that sound okay? Little Samuel, when he was hearing God cry in the middle of the night to him, kept running to Eli until Eli said, you know, hon, I think it's God, so just answer. And that's an important thing. Other people in our community are helpful for us to validate that what we're hearing is from God. And sometimes you're just not going to be certain. You're never going to get a clear sense of like, yes, absolutely, this is written in stone, word of God. So do your best to listen and to discern the will of God, and then do as you feel led to do. Boldly go. But go with humility and a teachable spirit. Because remember this, if we make a mistake, if we head off in the wrong direction and we're heading towards a cliff, we have a good shepherd. And that good shepherd will come and find us and bring us back to safety. Our shepherd wants that we may have life and have it abundantly. So as we listen for his voice, even when we step out in the wrong direction, he's there to bring us back and to redirect us in the ways that he wants us to go. We can trust our good shepherd. Now, this is going to be a very uncomfortable thing for you Presbyterians. I'm going to invite you to listen in silence for 3 minutes. And I will watch the clock so you don't have to. Okay? I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, breathe deeply in and out, maybe 3 times. And just set aside everything but listening. And when a thought comes about what you're going to have for lunch, or what you're thinking, just thank that thought and put it to the side until later, and just listen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, let us say what we believe using together the words of the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We are made in God's image. And God's love is a generous and overflowing love. So let us exercise God's image by sharing of our financial gifts this morning in the offering. Please be seated. Scripture says that people will come from north and south and east and west, men and women, boys and girls, to gather around the table in the kingdom of God. We gather here this morning to remember the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples the night before he died. But we also come in anticipation of that day when we will gather around that table with boys and girls and men and women from north and south and east and west. This is the Lord's table. All are welcome. All who hunger for God are welcome. So come. Let us join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, you created light out of darkness, and you brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and called us to love and serve you. When we were unfaithful and turned from your ways, you did not forsake us. Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and sent prophets to call us back to your way. In the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, Jesus the Christ, to be our Savior. In him, your word, dwelling with you from all eternity, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld your glory, Emmanuel. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with celestial choirs and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born in humility, he came to rule over all. Helpless as an infant, he showed the power of your love. Poor in things of the world, he brought the wealth of your grace. Rejected by many, he welcomed all who sought him. In his dying and rising, you give birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place, called in Christ, fed by his grace, joined in his body, we remember those we have been called to serve. For the poor and the hungry, for the sick and the suffering, for the abused and the oppressed, for the doubting and dispirited, for your creation which cries for you, for your church that expects your presence. Hear our prayer, Lord. And as this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Empower us by your Spirit to be joined in Christ's presence in the world, even as he is God with us. Give us courage to speak his truth, to seek his justice, and to love with his love. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Friends, on the night of his betrayal, our Lord sat at table with his friends, his colleagues, his travel companions. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Eat this, remembering me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he blessed it also and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for many in my blood. Drink this, remembering me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection and our hope for the kingdom of God until he comes again. For the people of God. Jeffrey. Let us join our voices in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that you love us enough to feed us with your own self, that our life is your life and your life is ours. Help us live into that in courage and in strength. We ask all this in the name of our Lord who taught us to pray as we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, Christ is alive. Listen for his word. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be above you and within you and between us all, now and forever. Amen.